Discouragement is defined as a loss of confidence or enthusiasm, dispiritedness, an attempt to prevent something by showing disapproval or creating difficulties or deterrent. And I'm just here to tell you that Satan will do everything in his power to discourage us in our everyday life, especially when it comes to parenting teenagers in this day and age.
The Greenhouse Effect is a weekly podcast hosted by youth pastor Avery Bowman. This podcast is for teens and their parents. Our goal is to encourage, support, and strengthen the home. Contrary to popular belief, one can survive in this present culture while maintaining a personal relationship with Jesus. Join us each week as we learn from God's Word. Here is your host, Avery Bowman.
Hey, Mom and Dad, how are you doing today? I hope you're having an amazing Wednesday or whatever day you find yourself listening to this podcast. I trust that your day is treating you well. And my entire heart behind this podcast is to just give you another resource, another tool, another way to encourage you, lift you up, to build up your home. And today we're going to be talking about discouragement being real. And when you are parenting, when you are working with teenagers on a weekly basis, there can be some discouragement. And anytime you set out to begin something new, there's always opportunity for discouragement. That is just the nature of how things go. Let me ask you a question. How is everyone's weight loss journey going on this new year? Maybe you started a new business venture. Maybe you're going to a new church or a new school, and you're sending your kids off to a new school, and maybe there is some discouragement with that. Maybe you started a new program. Maybe you're like me and you started a podcast. And honestly, my entire goal behind the podcast is to give parents more resources to navigate these teenage years. And I don't think that I'm some kind of expert. I don't even claim to be so. Yet there are people that feel the need to let me know that. And if I let those comments set in, they can translate to discouragement. If we were to put a definition on the word discouragement, it is a loss of confidence or enthusiasm, dispiritedness, or an attempt to prevent something by showing disapproval or creating difficulties or a deterrent. The one thing that I've learned in 28 years is that discouragement is real. And when life comes to business, finances, relationships, it's natural. Discouragement is there. Discouragement, though, is on a complete different level when you're dealing with spiritual things. And so again, I want to refresh our memories and remind us that something that I talk about often is that Satan is the author of that discouragement. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." 1 Peter 5:8 puts it this way. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Hey, Satan sidelines so many individuals on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, because of discouragement. I know the reports are staggering of the amount of pastors, youth pastors, individuals that are working in ministry that are tapping out on a daily basis. But we have parents that are tapping out on a daily basis and just completely throwing in the towel. Just because someone walks away from a ministry and doesn't want to work in the ministry anymore, that's not Satan's ultimate goal. Satan's ultimate goal would be for a parent to quit trying, a parent to quit working towards conversations with their kids, a parent to quit trying to read the Bible and gain a better understanding of what the Word of God says. Satan will do everything in his power to sideline your efforts in parenting your teenagers, and he'll use that thing known as discouragement. He'll feed you lies such as, "Hey, they're not listening to a thing that you say anyways. They don't need you. They're independent now. They're figuring things out on their own. Their friends are there for them." when they're trying to talk something out in their life, their friends are there to discuss that. Hey, their youth pastor is talking to them about these tough topics in life. But I'm here to tell you that nobody will replace mom and dad. And this is how he masterfully does so. You see, 12 to 18 year old, your 12 to 18 year old was once that newborn baby that was dependent on you for everything. Think about it. Food, diapers, bathing, warmth, and comfort. Literally life. They couldn't exist without your nurture and care. But as your child grows and gets older, they grow less and less dependent upon you. They're able to feed themselves. They begin to dress themselves. They begin to pack their own lunch. They begin to drive themselves to and from work and to and from school and to and from the necessity, the places in their life that they have to get to. All of this is great, but it's hard to accept the reality that once your baby is growing up and a lot less dependent on you for their basic necessities. So this is when, if you're not careful, we can become discouraged, which can ultimately lead to disengagement in the young person's life. There can be extreme dangers when we disengage in the life of teenagers too soon. We have to make it a point to finish the job that we have been called to do as parents, to finish strong. I want to look at a passage that completely captivated my thinking here in the last couple of days, and it's in Nehemiah chapter 4, and we're going to pull out some of the things in this passage that are going to be a great help to you to stay engaged to your teenager. The chapter starts out by the Jews being made fun of for what they were going to be doing. Now, you know the story of Nehemiah. I'm not going to go through all the ins and outs, but in Nehemiah chapter 4, 1 through 3, it says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before this brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish, which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Let me challenge you to remember the Lord and fight for your sons and daughters and your houses. Hey, the Israelites only had a handful of workers in comparison. They had a massive wall to build with very limited resources. If they would have had focused on what they had, they probably wouldn't have done anything at all. But instead, they focused on what they had, if you know what I'm saying. Nehemiah was pointing them to God. Hey, mom and dad listening, I want to point you to God. Nehemiah chapter 4:14 is my favorite verse in the text. And it says, "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord." Mom and dad, remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Hey, fight for your young person. Fight for them. They're worth it. When your teen is pushing you away, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit trying. When they're impossible to connect with, love them. When they're not listening to you, listen to them. I'm just telling you that they are living in the most confusing time, perhaps, in our country. I want to inform you of the number one song currently in our culture today. It's written by a girl known as SZA, and it's called Kill Bill. The lyrics are absolutely satanic. They encourage our teenagers to live out and act upon their emotions, to listen to their heart. The lyrics go a little bit like this. "I might kill my ex, not the best idea. His new girlfriend next. I might kill my ex. I still love him though. Rather be in jail than alone." And then the song ends with, "Oh, I just killed my ex. Not the best idea. Killed his girlfriend next. How'd I get here? I killed my ex. I'd rather be in hell than alone. Look, your teenager needs a voice of reason. You'd be shocked at the amount of teenagers listening to that song. Have you asked your teenagers what trending music that they've listened to? Number one on the charts in Apple Music, number one on the charts in Spotify. It's inevitable that they've at least seen the title of that song. There's no way that they haven't. Mom, Dad, I'm challenging you. Hey, be present in the things that they're going, that's going on in their world. Hey, remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. I also want to challenge you to trust God as you parent your teenager. Hey, Satan is going to throw doubt in there every single opportunity that he can. Remember the story? As they were building the wall, they were made fun of by Sam Ballett and his friends. Even so, the people refused to give up because they trusted in God. Nehemiah chapter 4, 4 through 5 says, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." Hey, there is a battle raging in the mind of every single parent. And if we're not careful, we can allow Satan to use our minds as a playground. And he loves to create confusion and chaos. Hey, maybe I'm being too hard on them. Maybe I'm not doing enough. We each have our own specific battles that Satan loves to use against us. But ask God daily to give you clarity and peace of mind. This is why we have to be in his word and talking to him and communicating with him on a daily basis, so that we'll be able to spot the accuser and spot the fraud a mile away. God is never the author of confusion. He doesn't operate that way. Hey, let me challenge you to get support. Hey, the people were tired. The wall was halfway finished. The threat attack grew every single day. And so Nehemiah created a small family-based army that stood together while others worked. Hey, Nehemiah chapter 4, 16 through 17 says, "And it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the harbingens, and the rulers were behind the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, and they that bare burdens, with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon." God expects us to live in community. We're not supposed to fight the battles of this life on our own. If you're feeling overwhelmed with the task of parenting a teenager, hey, get support. Support comes in all shapes and sizes. It could be a friend, a mentor, a mom's group, a dad's group, a small group at church, a prayer partner. I don't know exactly what that looks like for you, but find the type of support that works for you and ask them to stand guard over you as you work. Hey, lastly, let me challenge you to hold fast to the sword of the Spirit. Wow, I feel a preaching fit coming on. But during the times of imminent threats, every single individual had a weapon ready. Ooh, what's your weapon? What's your weapon for your teenagers? What's your weapon for your house? I just thought of the movie, The War Room. Remember that little old sweet black lady in that movie that prayed down the walls in her house? And then the young married couple whose marriage was in shambles, and what did she do? She prayed. Hey, what's your weapon that you're holding on to? Keeps God's word as a part of your relationship with your teenager. Nehemiah 4, 17 and 18 says, "They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burden, with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon." Mom and Dad, we got to hold these weapons. "For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he sounded, the trumpet was by me." Hey, don't check out of your teen spiritual guidelines. Dig deep into God's word together. You don't have to have all the answers. Hey, find them together. When was the last time that you sat down with your teenager? When was the last time that they were able to ask you questions about the Bible? When was the last time that you asked them, is there anything that I can help you clear up in God's word that you don't understand? Is there anything that upsets you about God's word? And you go deep dive into that and you explain to them what God's word means in talking about these things. Hey, look, it's intimidating. And you might not have every single answer. And that's completely fine to be open and transparent about. And not knowing the answer is not an excuse, though, to not be growing with your teen in the word of God. You know what you do? You find the answer together. You read up on it until you find one. Hey, look, I converse with people on a weekly basis that definitely know more about the Bible than me. I talk with parents weekly that come to me with heavy stuff. And they ask me, Brother Avery, what do we do about this? What do we do about that? I can't get this to get through to them. And I don't know what to do here. And I don't know. And you know what? A lot of times I have to say to them, you know, I don't know the answer, but let me get back to you on that one. And if it's okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to ask somebody that I know will know, that has the knowledge and counsel. And I seek counsel from somebody that's maybe been in the ministry for 50 years. And I Google, I research, I read a lot of books, I read articles. Hey, I have to dive in deep to God's word. I ask my wife, I ask my brothers, I ask my sister, my mom. I ask individuals that have been around the block. Is that embarrassing? Hey, it might be embarrassing because I'm a youth pastor and I should have the knowledge. But I'm just telling you that we can't just not have conversations pertaining to God's word because we don't know the answer. Look, we got to do our own research and we have to figure things out with our teenagers. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Hey, here's the thing. I want to challenge you again. Everyone had his sword girded by his side, and they did their daily necessities. They kept building the wall, and they sounded the trumpet that was by them. Look, mom and dad, you're going to have to function in this life, but you better hold tight to that word of God. You better not let that down. You're going to have to get through your day-to-day duties, but you better hold on and cling to the word. You better be giving advice to your teenager according, thus saith the Lord. That's my challenge to you on this week, is that, hey, discouragement is real. Satan will use discouragement in our life. He will do everything in his power to discourage you, mom and dad. He will make you feel worthless. He will try to disengage you from your teenager with that discouragement. But I'm challenging you today to rise up, to stand up in victory and conquer the enemy and say, look, Satan, you're not going to have the victory in my life. You're not going to have the victory in my home. I'll never forget the end of the movie in War Room, right? When she goes on and she's praying down the walls in her home. Hey, we need to pray down some of these strongholds in our family's lives. We need to pray down the strongholds, and we need to allow the Lord to do a mighty, mighty work. I trust this episode is a blessing to you and your family. I'm praying for all of you this week. I'm looking forward to next week. Will you please share this with someone if it was a blessing to you? I love you all. God bless each and every one of you. Have an absolutely amazing, amazing day.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review. The greatest trick Satan has ever pulled is convincing the world he does not exist. We have to live in light of the reality that he walks about seeking whom he may devour. He is alive and well today. Remember to work out your salvation today. May God bless you richly as you seek to walk with him.